One of the nights I was in. Oh, yeah, thanks. I'll grab that for you. So one of the nights I was in Auckland, you know, that place, I woke up to the feeling of something crawling along my hand. Yeah, it could have been ooh, but fortunately it was only an ant. Any ant lovers out here? Oh, come on. There was once a person.
The Argentine ant is the most invasive species in the world.
Thank you, Brian. Sounds like a real colonizing sort of ant that we sort of wonder when. Yeah, there's a lot more in Auckland, that's for sure. This is where I thought this was going. Fell in my head. So there was once a person who loved ants.
Once.
They loved ants so much that they developed the best possible environment for an ant colony to thrive. And they placed ants there to enjoy and grow and make an amazing ant colony. Anyone heard this story before? Oh, good, good. Every day, the ant lover would come to the part of the garden where the ant colony was and would get down on their knees and speak to these ants, Argentine ants, regular ants, whatever ants. I love you. I love you. I love you. And every day the ant lover, ant lover would bring goodies and give them to the ants. A jam jar after the kids had used it. And an unsealed packet of colourful breakfast cereal that was supposed to be healthy. And the ants would gather and dine out on these delicious treats. And they would hear the ant lover whispering to them, I love you. I love you. I love you. And as winter came, the lover of ants decided to build a shelter over the colony to make sure it didn't flood. And as they built and then as the rain steadily dropped on the shelter roof, so too came the steady, passionate voice of the ant lover. I love you. I love you. I love you. Every day, the same message was shared. I love you. I love you. I love you. So far, there hadn't been any response from the ants. And the ant lover longed to know and to be known with the ants, to be in relationship with them. And so the ant lover came up with an idea, using the incredible powers that they had. They became an ant. Did you think there was like a Marvel sort of retake on Ant-Man or something? Okay, here we go. They became an ant. They took on ant flesh and took on ant blood. And they moved into the ant neighborhood, the colony they had built. They were so excited. The ant lover, who was now an ant, went around the colony saying, Hi, it's me, the one who was called out. I love you, I love you, I love you. I shared with you my jam jar and my open packet of sugary breakfast cereal. That was me, because I love you. And there were words written down 2,000 years ago about a similar sort of ant lover. I'm going to read these words again. Remembering that the word is a person, like the ant lover. In the beginning, there was the word. The word was in God's presence, and the word was God. The word was present to God from the beginning. Through the word, all things came into being. And apart from the word, nothing came into being that has come into being. And the Word was life, and that life was humanity's light. A light that shines in the darkness. A light that the darkness has never overtaken. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, the favor and position a parent gives an only child, filled with grace, filled with truth. So my message this morning is about mission, God's mission. And I want to share some stories and highlights and feedback from Baptist Hui the other week interwoven into this. In this ant story that I've heard from Mick Duncan, the ant lover was there at the beginning of the story, and was at work, and was constantly and consistently and faithfully at work. The ant lover had a mission for ants to know they are loved and cared about and wanted, for them to thrive in life and join the ant lover in sharing that love and goodness. In John's Gospel here, we read of how the Word, Jesus, was present at the beginning of time and has always been at work. It says, through the Word, all things came into being. In the Word was life, and that life was humanity's light. God is a mission God. God has a mission to reconcile or to make peace with and between all things. That's making all things new. And how did God do this? Not just by continually communicating with words and actions that humanity and the entire cosmos is loved, but by becoming human, taking on human flesh and blood, becoming one of us, entering our neighborhood, knowing what it's like to live as a human with all of our brilliance and with all of our brokenness, and wanting to share the knowledge and lived experience of God's love with others. So if God, through Jesus Christ, by the Spirit, has always been at work in the world, that has a lot of implications for us. It highlights the importance of believing and trusting that God is indeed at work, even when we least suspect it. Like when we're in the tricky situations we live with, or seemingly hopeless situations, or painful situations, or places where it seems God definitely isn't. God has become one of us. God knows what being human is like. God is at work and always has been at work and always will be at work in making all things new. This is true in the difficult places of Kolkata in India, and around Bangladesh and other parts of Southeast Asia and East Asia, where New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society work. This society is our mission agency, our mission arm, if you like, with whom and for whom and by whom we connect with people and places that are far away and who do incredible work to bring about gospel renewal. At Baptist Hui, we heard a story of an NZBMS staff member being asked to pray for a very sick girl in their community. Now, miraculously, this prayer was answered, and this girl was healed. Pretty awesome, eh? But this girl, she had a brother. And because of what happened to his sister, this brother decided that he was going to become a disciple of Jesus, learning about Jesus and his ways, to do what Jesus did and become more like Jesus. So he's growing and he's outworking his faith. And the mission people are feeling pretty stoked about this. This is what they were saying. They were feeling pretty stoked about this. Oh, we're doing a good job here. When news comes through that his family village far away has been flooded, and so he decides to go and help. That's a Jesus-like thing to do, isn't it? He arrives back in the village after not having been there for many years. And in the cleanup, he finds a painting that he remembers seeing all the time in his grandmother's house, a painting of a man. And he turns to his grandmother and he says, "I remember this painting, but I never knew who the person was in it. Who is that man?" His mother replied that it is a painting of Jesus. Jesus had always been there. And on hearing this story, the NZBMS staff realized that they'd been too arrogant in thinking that they were the ones that were bringing Jesus to the people around them, when really something of God's life, something of God's work and ministry and work and mission in the world was already at work. And that is my first of 2 points this morning, that God has a mission of making all things new. And our mission is to discover how and where God is at work. And then participating in that. That is mission. Joining in with what God is up to already. For God is a mission God. And if this is the case, then it makes sense that God was and is present in all cultures and all peoples across all ages and genders. God is in all of these and at work. And therefore mission, according to John chapter 1, and I'd add the overall message of the Bible, is to discover how God is revealing God's self to others and then participating in that. Which is the opposite of colonization, of course. Where some people think that they have the answers and the goodness and decide to push that on others that they don't think are doing the right thing. Imagine what life could be like if Christians everywhere listened to people different to them, asked questions, and reflected on where God was at work, and then joined in there. Perhaps there's an attitude we might need to turn from in that, of thinking that we have the answers and that others, be it overseas or neighbours or family members, that they might need our way. They need our way of doing things. Maybe that's something we could be turning from. A mature Christian sees Christ in everything and everyone else. I think that is so true. Because God is at work. God is God. Does something feel hopeless to you right now? John 1 suggests that God is in fact at work and has been for a very long time. How might the idea of God being at work be good news for us today? How might that be good news for you today? Of God being at work. And where do you think God is at work? The second key point I want to make this morning from John chapter 1 is that God's mission involves location. God is a sending God. God sent the Son into the world. Or as John chapter 1 puts it, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory. So God, who is spirit, who we cannot see, became or took on flesh. God became human. That's what mission looks like. Taking on the life of those we are planted with. Think of the ant lover. There came a point of time where they chose to become an ant out of love. So that thriving would happen. So that more love would spread. I learned at Baptist Hui that a key reason Freeset changed its name to Joya was because a survey was done amongst the women employees who'd come out of the sex trade in Kolkata. And lots of them asked for a name change. And this really surprised the Freeset people. They asked for the change so they could be more honest with their family and friends about what they did for a living. A quick search for Freeset will tell you all about their past, but being able to say that they were a seamstress for Joya, oh well, that was a source of encouragement and good pride. Unintentionally and unknowingly, a colonial mindset had formed at Freeset where our story of what we're doing for these poor, helpless women was more important than dignity and respect for these artisans who were having life shared with in Calcutta. Being grounded deeply in the location eventually led to awareness of the shortfall, and change has happened, which is great. Being planted in a community and really listening leads to better outcomes and more life-giving ways of being for everybody. A huge focus in Hilo Baptist Hui was what NZBMS are doing as a whole. NZBMS have changed their branding name, still officially, like on official formal documents like constitutions and stuff, are still known as NZBMS, but they've changed their name and now going to be known as Arotahi. A-R-O-T-A-H-I. Arotahi. So, we're going to watch a little video of how this has come to be. So, intro to Arotahi.
My name is Reito Tarewa, and I'm from Tauranga and from Waikato area. It's been wonderful to walk alongside of beautiful people like Kelly, AJ, and the wonderful staff as they've been thinking about renaming NZBMS to another name in this new season. When I think about Arotahi, there's all these other different sort of images that sort of come up in my mind. Aro, well, aro aro. The word aro aro is to sort of stand. It's this space in between two people. Aro aro. And tahi is to stand together. So it's almost like of an image of standing before one another. It's that space. When I think about that, then I think about our history, you know, and we have beautiful histories of honour and stories of pain, where we have not been face to face, but we've sort of turned. The thing is when I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, we're seeing two different things. You're looking at me, and I'm looking at you, and we both have different thoughts and different ideas, but I think the unity comes, the oneness comes, where we embrace each other's goals and visions and dreams, and then we're able to turn around and give focus to those who are outside of Aotearoa. So aro, meaning the space or the gaze, and tahi is one. One focus on the one, but also focus as one. That's when the unity comes.
So together as one, looking at the one, working together as one, we work together for God's mission, for those overseas. So that's NZBMS with Arotahi. A more focused togetherness is a beautiful thing, right? Their renewed clarity of mission is so very grounded in John's gospel of mission, where we humbly recognize God at work. Their location and relationships are central and mutual, and that's a really crucial thing. Arotahi say, oh, wrong one. Arotahi say that our mission is simple. We want to see every community in a relationship of mutual gospel renewal. That means faith communities in committed relationships with people and places that are different from themselves, that they might learn, receive, give, teach, and be transformed. That's pretty awesome, eh? I want to be a part of that. A biblical example of this is the well-off man and the poor man Lazarus. Lazarus needed the rich man to get out of poverty. And the rich man needed Lazarus to get out of hell, although that is a story. Being with the poor is part of being a disciple of Jesus. Jesus continually calls us to the poor. And so what might this mean for us today? Well, if you're thinking of moving house, Spotswood is a great place to live. Move into the neighborhood or somewhere close-ish by, if you're thinking of moving house. Just throw that out there. Just a little thing.
No ants.
No ants. Yeah, we don't have them inside. Yeah. I think it's brilliant that we're generously giving so much of our budget to people and groups and work that is beyond us, that helps others. There's a sense of recognising that God is at work in these areas, in chaplaincy, in arotahi, in youth work. And we're joining in and supporting that. It's beautiful. It's awesome. I love that. A third thing of what this might mean for us today. When Mouse preached a few months ago in our One Another series, he hit the topic of serve one another, and his message still sticking with me. It was a real challenge to us to not rely on certain people to do the time and work with our local community, with our wider community. But as a church, we need to have lots of people serving personally. That's really important. Specifically, and I know you know this, it's just a little reminder, that we're not employing staff, myself or Ethan, to do all the time with people locally. Rather, we are to help enable and support this to happen as a church. The last thing we want is to have everything reliant on one or two people. But I know you know that. And fourthly, what this means for us today, partnerships and stuff and that face-to-face stuff is really, really important. So a trip to Bangladesh and Kolkata is on the cards again. We put that off for a few years with COVID, but I had this awesome conversation with Annie, who's recently employed by Arotahi, and they are just really excited about what I was started talking to them about wanting to build a bit of a partnership with a couple of places and people over there. And that's exactly what they've, you know, renewing their focus of mission on. So we had a really awesome conversation and we're really keen to get something happening, but probably for 2024. And we'll talk about more about that next year. So that sounds pretty cool, eh? Yeah. So sit down, hands down, if you're really keen on that. Awesome. Sweet. That's great. So Baptist Hui was a wonderful time. Honestly, it was the best one I've been to. Really enjoyed a two-day retreat with a bunch of pastors before the main hui. Connecting with the chaplaincy day that was run was brilliant. And other pastors, like Roy Nu. Yeah. Yeah, so she says hi. We had a really awesome catch-up. So, yeah. Passing on love to you all from her. So the theme of noticing where God is moving and considering how we can appreciate participate in that was a real theme of the whole hui and a great question for us as individuals and as a church. So we come to communion. And we remember the whole Christ event in communion. Jesus is coming, his life, his death, his resurrection. His death was the ultimate display of self-giving love, showing the way to real, true life. How that's through forgiving and through justice and love. And so as we come and take the bread and take the juice into our bodies, may we be filled afresh with the life of Christ, turning afresh towards Jesus in the ways that we need to, and being empowered afresh to reflect God's goodness and love and life. So the invitation is here for everybody. For Christ died for all, loves all, and wants all to participate in his death, life, and resurrection and mission. So let's pray. We look to you, Jesus, and see the God who cannot be seen. We look to you, Jesus, and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in you and finds its purpose in you. You were there before any of it came into existence, and you hold it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, you organize and hold it together, like a head does a body. You have a mission of making all things new. We recognize in ourselves the need for us to be made new, and we come to you this morning with grateful hearts for your Spirit who shows us when we've forgotten your good ways. Convict us, God. Forgive us. Heal us. We love that you call us friends and children and partners in your mission. And so as we take this bread and this juice, representing your body and your blood into our bodies, may you empower us to afresh to live for you. Amen. So if Alison and Andy would like to come forward and serve us, that'd be fantastic. So please come.